In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked Jesus to depart from them. It is a remarkable thing, really. It is remarkable that those who had received so much, they had a miracle in their own town, would so quickly decide to drive Jesus away. But it wasn't because of this miracle that they sent him away. Miracles, as you can imagine, draw large crowds. And large crowds increase business in the town. And increased business in the town means that everyone profits. So no, they didn't send him away because of this miracle. They sent him away because of the pigs. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain, says St. Luke. So they, the demons, begged him that he would permit them to enter into the swine. And he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned to death. And it was for this reason that the crowd sent him away. How could this Jesus, this so-called Messiah, this one whom John the Baptizer was scared to baptize, how could he be so wasteful? A herd of swine, literally hundreds, if not thousands of pigs, in exchange for one crazy man. Couldn't Jesus have done this another way? Why didn't he just speak to the demons? Or zap the demons? Or scare those demons to death? I don't know what it adds up to, but just think of all the money lost. All the money lost for those herdsmen, for that city, and for those people in today's gospel. All of that for this one man, as people describe him, this lunatic. But before we are too quick to condemn those Gadarenes for their frustration with Jesus, I think it's good to remember how quickly you and I can become equally as frustrated with him. Imagine for a moment the person walking along Telegraph Road, naked and dirty and hair disheveled. He's not out looking for clothes. In fact, he probably doesn't even want any. He's not asking for food. In fact, he's asking for nothing at all. But he is talking to himself in a manner that is totally incomprehensible. And you and I would drive by and think that person is crazy. And not only would you and I likely not stop, in fact, some of us might be fearful to stop. Not only would you and I likely not give that man a passing thought, but then imagine for a moment if Jesus showed up. And he sent whatever it was troubling that man, whether it be addictions or disease or struggles or depression or even demons. And he sent those things into our stuff. And then he sent our stuff, our cars, our phones, our electronics, our toys, our books, our appliances, our homes, whatever it is that is important to all of us. He sent all of that over a large cliff, or maybe dropped it off the I-96 interchange so that all of it was completely destroyed. You and I would be as upset as those Gadarenes. You and I would likely care more about our stuff than this man. And we would ask Jesus why he didn't do it another way. Yes, heal him. We're fine with that. But not at the expense of our stuff. But this is where Christianity becomes real for all of us. Just as it became real for those people, those Gadarenes. It becomes real with this single question. Would you sacrifice all you've got to save one crazy man? Would you sacrifice all you've got to save one crazy person? You see, dear brothers and sisters, we are happy to help others. Everybody enjoys going to work at Redford Interfaith Relief or American Red Cross or wherever it is you like going. Many of us are happy to give out a few dollars at the side of the road. Many of us are happy to direct others to places where they can get help. We are happy to help so long as it doesn't cost us too much. Yes, human life matters to us. Think about all of us who support the right to life, for example. Human life matters so long as we don't lose what matters to all of us. But when it hits us, our wallets, our time, our stuff, what is valuable to us, what we love, well, then we probably end up shaking our heads like those Gadarenes, wondering why Jesus didn't fix things another way. I don't know why he didn't fix things another way, but I do know how he fixed things for all of us. Jesus didn't say, "Yes, I love all those people at St. Innocent, and I'm willing to help, so long as I can keep all of my stuff." And I'm not trying to be trite. He didn't say, "I'll help all those good St. Innocent folks so long as it doesn't require too much of me or too much from me." No, just read the Gospels and you will see that it was nowhere close to that. He gave up literally everything. He gave up heaven itself. And he came to all of us as the most vulnerable person imaginable. He didn't come as a great king. He didn't come as a warrior. He came as a baby who put himself into Mary's arms and put himself under her protection. And he spent his life with us. He suffered with us. He prayed with us. And yes, he was even tempted with us. There is no temptation that you have that Jesus himself didn't experience as well. And then he put his own desires aside. And he did what he knew from forever, from the very beginning of the world, what he knew was best. And he gave up himself for all of us. Not just his stuff, not just his cash, not just a herd of swine, but his own divine flesh and blood. And all of it, every last bit of it, was given up for you personally and intentionally. It wasn't by accident. And he did it without a single regret and with no second thoughts. So yes, Jesus knows what those Gadarenes are experiencing, and he knows what you and I experience as well. He knows how hard it can be to stand by and watch someone else being healed, someone else getting something that you wish you had, especially when it costs so very much. But he also knows something that he wants all of you to know as well, something that he shows us in this gospel. And that is that people matter. And stuff doesn't. And that he who gave up everything for you will give you more joy than you can imagine when you, like him, take one small step in trying to give up all you've got for those who are in need. That, dear friends, is the way to the kingdom. That is the way to Eden restored, and that is the way to everlasting life. May God strengthen us for that journey. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.